Hello, everyone. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Coffee with Candace J. I'm your host, Candace Jones, and this is season two. Woo, 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 woo. I'm so excited that you all have decided to join us with this podcast. And I am so excited to be with my girl, my friend today, Shalina King. Woo, 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 woo. First of all, just tell everybody just who you are, what do you do, and then I'll tell them how we know each other.
Okay, so I'm Shalina King, and currently I am an executive admin. I work for the Federal Reserve Bank of Atlanta, and I'm also an event coordinator.
Nice, nice. Okay, so let's tell everybody how we met. If you want to go first, tell them a little bit about how we came about knowing each other.
Okay, I can go first. So I met this beautiful woman of God right here, actually in a choir.
Yes.
We auditioned for the Maverick City Music Gospel Choir. Oh, wow.
Yes.
I think it's been like
2022.
Yeah, 2022 we auditioned. Funny story is I auditioned as an alto and ended up going to the soprano side because
Team Soprano.
That's right. I was told I was being a lazy alto.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
We ended up doing some tours together, getting to know one another, and we've been great friends ever since.
Yes, yes. So Team Soprano, shout out to all the sopranos out there. And yes, we went on tour. You know, it's a lot of people, it's like 50 people per show, and we were blessed to be beside each other for numerous shows.
Yeah.
You know, you have a lot of young people. We young, we're amen.
Amen.
But we're not a part of the young group. So
right.
The Maverick City Choir has a lot of like those in their 20s and stuff. So those who are, you know, in the 30s and in about 40s.
Yeah.
Amen. There are some of us. And So of course we're gonna navigate. Like you know, y'all trying to go out afterwards,
right?
You know? It's 1 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
We're going to bed.
That part.
Listen, I was tired. Shower in bed.
That part.
Body aching. So we could talk about that all day.
Bad, yes.
But listen, so we were part of that, you know, small group.
Yeah.
So of course we befriended and it just stuck. And we were talking about earlier how, you know, when you just get to talking to people and talking about their story, you find out so much.
Yes.
So at the time, my husband and I were in the process of going through adoption. We hadn't adopted our boys yet. We hadn't even met them yet. We were actually just in the process of the home study and a lot of different things that we're going to talk about as far as how that adoption took place. But we had applied to be parents, adoptive parents in April of 2022. And so the tour took place over that summer. So it was a lot of faith that I was just, you know, going through a faith journey during that summer of touring. And even in that fall of God, I know this is what you have for us to do, and just mold me and make me into the mother that you have for me to be. And just so happened that Shalina was like, oh, yes. And, you know, I was adopted.
Yeah.
What? So God, I'm a true believer that God places people in your life for a reason.
Absolutely.
And so from there, we adopted our boys in November of 2023. I started writing a book, Modern Day Hannahs, which I'll talk about at the end. And I've also started this podcast, Coffee with Candace J. And we talk all things that deal with women issues and fostering, adopting, and infertility and women on their motherhood journey. And so I wanted to kick off season two with adoption awareness. Adoption awareness. So please like and share so that we can get on to it. And if you see me kind of looking to the side, I'm sharing on other pages as well. So let's grab our coffee mugs. What do you all have? Make sure you have your coffee mug. What are you sipping on? And tell me about your coffee mug. What do you have? Do you like the tea, the coffee? What do you do?
So I am a tea drinker as well as a coffee drinker. I think here in the last few years, it's been more about the coffee. But I'll be honest and tell you that I usually like a lot of cream, a lot of sugar.
Yes.
Want to taste the coffee. So there's that. But my mug, you can't really see it, but this was given to me by my sister, my biological sister, I'll talk about more later with the questions.
Okay.
But my sister Sonya gave me this cup, so it's dear to my heart because it's a sister's mug. So.
Yay, sisters.
Yay, sisters.
Yay, sisters. I have two sisters. I love my sister. Shout out to Carol and Simone. And I brought a mug that Shalina gifted me this year for my birthday. I yes. love this confident, educated, blessed. Yes. And it kind of looks like me.
It does.
She had her dear friend, I mean, come up with this image, with the model. I'm like, girl, this was spot on.
Yes.
This is me, honey. So I absolutely love this. Thank you so much. Let's sip and let's chat. Yes. All right. So let's get in to it. With our topic today, adoption awareness. So I first just want to ask you, at what age were you adopted and when were you made aware that you were adopted?
So I was actually a small infant when I was put into foster care. I was about 8 months old and my foster parents took me in and they actually wanted to adopt me. And so they went through all the processes that they needed to go through and my adoption became final at 14 months. So wow. I was 14 months old when I was adopted, and I actually learned by mistake. I was only 11. My stepmom at the time was out shopping with her friend. You know how women be together, they be talking and having great conversation. Well, I overheard my mom say that, hey, when Gat and Clavetta adopted Shalina, and Clavetta is my adopted mom's name. So I overheard that conversation, went home trying to process it, couldn't sleep, was crying through the night, went downstairs that night, confronted my parents, and that's when they told me, well, yeah, you were adopted.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So how did that conversation kind of navigate? You were 11 years old mm-hmm. when you came downstairs. Can you kind of remember, take us through kind of what that conversation kind of sounded like?
Yeah, so of course.
Your feelings afterwards?
I was in total shock. I was totally in despair, sobbing nonstop. Went downstairs, confronted my parents, and they're like, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And I was like, am I adopted? And my mom looked at my dad and was like, you didn't tell her? And he was like, no, I didn't tell her. And that's when they were like, well, yes, you were adopted. And they tried to give me some information about, you know, my mom and how I could have a brother and things of that nature.
Wow.
I'd like to believe that I was okay after 11, but that isn't my story.
Mm-hmm.
So I did like wonder while I was out in the streets, like, ooh, that could be my mom. I would look like at women that look like me. And I would be like, ooh, I wonder if that's my mom. Funny story is I had a poster of Sade in my room, and there would be nights where I would look at her because I love music.
Yeah,
love to sing. We talked about being in a choir, and so since she was a singer, I would look at her and be like, I wonder if Sade could be my mom.
Wow.
So yeah, the emotions at the time were definitely difficult, but you know, at that time parents didn't really talk about stuff
yeah.
like that, so they didn't have the capacity to know that maybe she should go to counseling or maybe she should talk through her feelings. They didn't really have that capacity to do that. So fast forward and 40 something years later, I went through an impactful situation where I made some mistakes based on some coping mechanisms that I developed, mm-hmm. not knowing I developed these coping mechanisms, but I was always seeking acceptance,
yeah.
always trying to feel validated.
Right.
Amongst myself, I dealt with abandonment issues and rejection issues. And so I went through this period where I felt like I needed to get everyone's approval, especially my mom's approval. And so I would do things to please everybody. I also developed this habit of self-pleasure. I would do at a young age, I developed that habit. And so moving and fast forwarding years later, that was something that I did. I sought attention from men in the wrong way and end up devastating my family with infidelity. Mm-hmm. So I lost my marriage based on me making poor decisions, all because of things that I hadn't dealt with. I hadn't dealt with from my childhood of feeling abandoned and feeling rejected. And so here I am today telling the story. God turned it around, but
yes. Mm-hmm. Wow. Thank you so much for that. I mean, initially, this is just such an incredible story Because even as you're talking, I'm thinking about my two adopted boys and, you know, how you have to parent differently. Every child is different, but especially with adopted children, like, am I doing those things? Am I showing enough affection? Am I giving them that validation? So it makes me think of those things as you're sharing with me, is that, not, of course, all children need to be validated by their parents, right, but that level of need, you know, increases when you have that abandonment that has taken place, mm-hmm, when you have rejection that has taken place. Mm-hmm. It's like, man, you have to really own that as a parent and say, well, yeah, I'm tired, but I still need to give them that attention, yeah, that they need. And that's so powerful. So just to be clear, were there ongoing conversations after that initial conversation, or it was kind of like, it was just, yep, that was it, and now I've become an adult.
Mm-hmm. We never talked about it anymore from that point on.
Wow. And again, that's a lot of households, yeah, especially in our culture,
it's like taboo,
where it's a lot of things become taboo. And yeah, that's a reason why I wanted to do platforms like this, to get those taboo topics out. Mm-hmm. It can be hard conversations, but it needs to be had. Mm-hmm. And especially as adoption is still taking place in other families, how do we get to this place of healing for these children?
Right.
So I have some other questions for you, and we'll just take our time through this. And if you have questions for Shalina, please feel free to put them in the chat as well. If we have our time, we'll definitely try to address those questions, yeah, that we see the comments there coming in. Mm-hmm. I want to know if you could take us through your personal journey mentally and spiritually to process being adopted then, and how it has shaped you as an adult today. You started hitting on it, but kind of, yeah, take us through mentally what it's like throughout those years of being a preteen to a teen adult, mentally and spiritually, what that was like.
Sure. So it was a little bit rough. I mean, like I said, I feel like growing up, I think I put it behind me. It was on my mind, but wasn't at the forefront. At least I didn't think that it was, until I recognized after going through counseling that, yeah, these are some things that you are developed because you were seeking all of the attention that you needed to seek. Spiritually, I can recognize now, I couldn't recognize it then, but God always had his hand on me. I could tell that, you know, even, you know, what my parents may not have been going to church when I was younger. My adopted parents actually split up when I was two. Wow. So when I was two, I didn't really get to know my adopted mom. I ended up living with my grandmother. And while I was living with my grandmother, while she didn't go to church.
So was this the adopted mom's mother?
This was
mother.
My adopted father's.
Adopted father's mother. Okay.
Yeah. So I was living with her. And while she didn't go to church, she would send me to church with her neighbors. And I'll never forget that family. I used to call them my own personal Huxtable family. They were the Andersons, and I used to go to church with them. She would send me to church with them, and it showed me how God always tried to put, yes, him in my life, no, yeah, matter the situation. So there was times where I would get sent to church with family members. I remember when we lived all over the place because my father was in the military. Mm-hmm. He's in the Air Force. And so there would be times, like in Louisiana, I remember being put on a church bus, being sent to church. So it was like everywhere I was, he found a way to make sure that his word was put, yes, in me some kind of way. And I'm so thankful, because without that, without, mm-hmm, me even realizing that that's where the foundation was coming, mm, from, I was able to lean on him in the times that I needed to lean on him. So I recognized that, you know, while my parents had their own hurt and things that they were dealing with, mm-hmm, they didn't have the capacity to kind of assist me in the areas that I needed, I was still able to lean on God. And there was a time where we moved to South Carolina. My mother decided to go back to church. And so as a family, we were going to church. And I remember watching her pray, and through me watching her pray is where I learned to have a prayer life. So I just am thankful that God was able to do bits and pieces here, yeah, and there, yeah, so that I would be able to have a way to come to him, yes, when needed.
My God, I love that. That's God for you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't know, you now that you're listening, we are firm believers that God always has his hands on you. Yeah. He said that he knew you before you were in your mother's womb.
Amen.
And that means no matter the path that you took, you know, from being a child that's born and then being into foster care, being adopted, you know, God still found his way to you. Mm-hmm. You know, it says we're chasing after God, but God comes directly to you. And we wanted to make sure that you all understood that that's God for you.
Yeah.
That is definitely God for you. Can you tell us a little bit about your adoptive family and what it was like growing up?
Sure. So as I mentioned, I never really got a chance to get to know my adopted mom, but I did get to meet her mom when I was small. But growing up, moving around, being a military brat, my dad married my mom when I was 5, the mom that I talk about now.
Okay.
And she is of Jamaican descent. So there, I grew up a little bit of Jamaican. We lived in England for a little while. So every now and again, when I'm around family I still have family that lives there in England. So when I'm around them, my accent comes back. but we grew up doing different things. Like we would go fishing as a family, do things like that. There was some, you know, some illnesses within the family that kind of prevented us from being able to be that fairy tale family, which I don't even think that exists.
Mm-hmm.
But going through that process just helped me realize that, you know, God is able to bring us out and he's able to take those hard times and turn them around so that I can help somebody else.
Yes.
So I grew up in a home with alcoholism and stuff like that. Mm. And so there were some times where I was, you know, witnessing things that weren't best for the family. But thankfully, he brought us through it, and mm-hmm. I'm able to just share my story with other people.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that you said that no family is perfect. No family has its fairy tale story. Mm-hmm. No matter if you're looking all online and you're thinking, oh, that family's got it made. Yeah. Those are the Huxtables. No, they're not. Remember, that was a TV show. You know, that was scripted.
Yeah.
You know, no family is perfect.
Right.
And everyone has their own story to share that one day we can help somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that about your story. What would you want anything to be different while growing up in this adoptive family now that once you were a child and you realized that you were adopted and you came to that realization, would you want anything to be done differently?
Yes and no. I think the no is because everything that I've gone through, I wouldn't be who I am today without going through those different things. The yes, I would say is, and I feel like it's much better today. I think we were talking earlier how there's so much that you and your husband had to do in order to be able to adopt your boys.
Right.
I think it's much better today than it was back then. I don't think there was as much thought about putting this child into that family, making sure the parents have what they need as far as mental awareness, what that child needs as far as mental awareness, and the health and well-being of that child. I don't think that was something that was thought about. I think they were just trying to get babies in the homes, no matter what it looked like, right?
Right.
But I think today we're doing a much better job of making sure we interview the parents, making sure the parents understand what it is that they're getting into in order for them to be ready to take on a child. I mean, many of us that have our own children don't realize we're getting into mm-hmm. when we mm-hmm. are becoming parents. Mm-hmm. I know for me, I became a parent at a very young age, at 19, and lost my virginity. And got pregnant right away and was not married. And so was single for a little while and didn't know what I was getting into.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the thing that I would change is just making sure people are aware of the resources that are available to them in order for them to be able to be the best parent that they can be when they're taking these children into their home.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We went through a tedious process, as Shalina said, but it's all worth it. We knew as educators that, of course, this is what these children need. So we're not going to complain that we have to go through these different processes. Again, we filled out our initial application in April of 2022, and it was like a stack. So for those who don't know, we went through the state. We didn't go through a private agency. Through a private agency, you may have to pay a whole lot of money out of pocket, but through the state, it was actually a lot of free things, a lot of free processes, or you can get reimbursed. We had to do everything from CPR tests, right? But again, like to your point, a lot of parents are not CPR certified, right? With CPR, first aid, Heimlich maneuvers, right, and all of those things.
Right.
So we had to go through parent counseling. We had to go through therapy and parent counseling. A lot of parents that have their own biological children have not done those things. Mm-hmm. So we did therapy with the boys. We were, you know, that was a requirement to go through. They had to go through therapy. And even after the adoption, we continued them to have them go through therapy. I believe that that is so important. We've talked about Mental Health Matters before, mm-hmm, on here, and it is so important. So they continue to do therapy because it is a lot. So they do home studies. There were pop-up visits. There were a lot of different things where they check the safety of your home and continue to ask the children by themselves, you know, what did you eat? Are you safe? You know, how are they keeping you safe? And I believe all those things are necessary. Mm-hmm. So it may seem tedious at the time, right, you know, for those who are thinking about it, but it is well worth it, because I do believe, to your point, that you can't just throw children just anywhere.
Right.
Right. So I believe that that process, if you are thinking about it, is definitely well worth it, even though it is, it can seem like a lot and a lot of paperwork. And they do get into a lot of detail of our personal background. What was my childhood like, mm-hmm, with my mom, with my dad, mm-hmm, with his mom, with his dad? You know, was there anybody incarcerated, abuse, even an extended family? They go into a lot of different things that they're just trying to see what family they're bringing you into and how did you deal with those things. So I believe that it is absolutely necessary.
Right.
So I have another question. Do you keep in contact with your biological family members?
So yes, I actually was blessed to be able to find my biological sister in 2004, when Ancestry was actually free and you could post,
okay,
you could post, like they had these forums where you could post questions like, hey, I'm looking for my mom. So I happened to post out there, hey, I'm looking for my mom, Nancy Tovar. Put that in there and it popped up and my sister had like the same post.
Wow.
But then I looked down and she also had a post like, I'm looking for my siblings, and she had our birth mom. So I am the oldest of three children. My mom had three of us. I'm the middle child. I'm sorry. She had my brother, she had me, and then she had my sister. We all have different fathers. We haven't found my brother yet. Prayerfully, that will happen,
yes,
soon. But yeah, so Shannon was my brother's name. Then I'm Shalina, and then my sister's name is Sonia. And so when I saw that message, I actually was at work. I gasped.
Yes.
Everybody came around and was like, Shalina, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. I think I found my sister, y'all. And they're like, oh my God. And so I reached out to her. And it took a little bit of a while. And then later I did learn that during that time, she actually had found our mom. And our mom ended up passing away. And so she was actually handling the affairs of our mom. But as soon as she saw my message, she called. We got on the phone and we talked. We sound alike.
Oh, wow.
We look alike. I should have shared pictures. We do look alike. And we have a lot in common. And it just was refreshing to find her. I met up with her that same year, 2004, for Thanksgiving. I flew out there, met all of her family, because she actually was raised by her father's side of the family, and wasn't in the system. My brother, however, was in the system.
In the system. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was able to find her. We've been staying in touch. All my nieces and nephews, I get to see them and hug on them and love on them. And so, yes, yeah, such a blessing. And then I want to say, I think it was in 2010, I found my biological father. And I did that through Facebook. So in some paperwork that I had requested in trying, because my adoption was actually a closed adoption, which means that my records were closed.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so I tried to reach out to the county and they were able to send me a little bit of information. And so I learned that my father's name was John Cannoli. At least that's what the paper said.
Mm-hmm.
So I reached out to all the Cannolis I could find. Because when I Googled Cannoli, I Googled Ron Cannoli. Well, Ron Cannoli, I learned, was my cousin, is my father's first cousin.
Okay.
But yeah, so I reached out to all the Cannolis I could find, and it ended up being, who was an ex-wife of a cousin and was like, hey, I think I know who your father is. And she put me in touch with my aunt. And then my aunt put me in touch with my father. And of course, I had so many questions. But yeah, so we've been in contact. I actually got to go see him last year. And I think it was in March. Last year in March, I got to go see him and meet some more of my aunts and uncles and rekindled with a sister. I have a sister who lives in Iowa. We've been talking. So to answer that question, short.
I love it.
Yes, I do keep in touch with my biological family members. And it's like I said, God has just been so good in opening those doors for me to be able to meet everybody. And then I learned that my music, that love of music and why I love praise and worship is from the Cannoli family. And if any of you have ever heard of Ron Cannoli, he actually was a praise and worship leader in the early 90s. And so that family is musically
deeply rooted.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. I love that. Yeah. So how old were you again when you finally were able to reconnect?
Oh my goodness. I was grown and had children. So 2004, that would make me 28.
Wow.
Yep, 28. And then when I found Jonathan, I think I was 34.
Wow. Wow. This is amazing. Yeah. I love stories like this because it shows again how God's hand has been with you all all throughout this process, through this journey of your life. We were told during the week of our adoption that, of course, our adoption is closed as well. Again, as you said, all of their records are sealed and concealed with us now. And with the state, they have biological siblings. And so I asked that question, and I always will refer to my boys as well. They have biological siblings out there that we have no idea who they're with. They just will say it may be with a biological grandfather or whoever, but we don't have any contact with those people. They cannot contact us, and they cannot contact each other until they're age 18. So we have this information where our boys would call and contact if they so choose to get in touch with their siblings. And I would love that for them. Yeah. I mean, I would love that reconnection because what happened was not the children's fault.
Right.
It was not on the children.
Right.
And I can imagine, you know, as much as, you know, you argue, fuss and fight with your siblings.
Yeah.
I couldn't imagine growing up without them.
Yeah.
And so to reconnect, was that a spiritual feeling? Was it a spiritual connection?
It definitely was a bond. And not to take away, because I have like my step siblings.
I have
a relationship with them and I love them and they love me. They never treated me like step sibling. And I'm so grateful that I had that with them. But it's definitely something different when you have that blood relation. I don't know. It was a connection. We felt it right away that we had a connection, my sister and I. And even recently with my sister that I've just rekindled with, we were on the phone crying so much because we have so much in common.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, it definitely was. And we get teary-eyed every time we visit and we have to say goodbye.
Yeah.
We're crying. And
I can imagine.
Yeah,
I can imagine.
It's a whole ordeal.
I can imagine. I mean, those are the conversations that we know the boys are young right now. They're 10 and 12, almost 13. And so they have a while until it's that time. And it is unfortunate. And my heart, you know, breaks for them because there have been times that they will reminisce. And our oldest, he's not emotional. He's a preteen, about to be a teenager. So he'll try to keep it in. But one day he was just crying to himself, you know, in a corner in the living room. And he was just crying and, you know, I talked to him later. It was like because the youngest Chris was just bringing up the siblings and them being taken away. And he was just making a little joke about it. But it really affected our oldest because he witnessed, you know, he was older. He remembered.
Yeah.
And so I was like, man, you know, they really do need to connect when they get older. I would love that for them. I would love that for them. And so I asked that as far as what was that, you know, like even growing up, knowing you had siblings out there. And in our time growing up, there wasn't social media like it is now.
No.
You know, we may have had the MySpace, but, it wasn't like how Facebook is, Instagram, for those who don't know.
Right.
So it wasn't like you can just find anybody.
Right.
as quickly as you could with Facebook.
Yeah.
You know, so to do what you did to take that initiative,
yeah.
I mean, that's
and
amazing.
And for it to happen.
And for it to like, happen.
Yeah, truly God.
That's all God.
Yeah, truly God.
I'm telling you, I'm a believer. So we already talked about the bond, but is there a certain sense of healing or ministry that you believe comes with being an adoptee now as an adult? And we've kind of hit on that, but is there a sense of healing that you feel now that I know you mentioned counseling, things mm-hmm. like that. Is there a sense of healing that you felt that you went through now that you're an adult?
Absolutely. I'll say it. I had to do some really deep diving after splitting up with my husband. We were married for 20 years. That already took some getting used to.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to really do some soul searching and try to figure out what was going on with me, why I had developed these habits that pretty much were self-destructive,
mm-hmm.
right? And through that, I was able to pinpoint what was going on, recognize that it was me finding out about being adopted that actually caused me to develop these habits that and I'm not excusing what
right,
I did.
Right.
I know I was wrong in everything that I did. I chose to do those things that I've mm-hmm. done, right? But it's also about going through and doing the work
mm.
and making sure that I don't repeat the same mistakes again.
Right.
Making sure that I find out, okay, how can you revert these habits that you have and do something positive as opposed to always going through a self-destructing habit. And so,
right.
yes, I found healing through that, but I also found to give grace.
Yes.
One of the things I felt like I did in the beginning, but I now more because I know my parents' story. Both my biological parents were, they dealt with alcoholism,
mm-hmm.
Drug abuse,
mm-hmm.
Which is something that I could relate to because I grew up with that around my adopted mm-hmm. father. And so to give grace, knowing, okay, they had stuff going on
yeah.
that they weren't even able to.
Yeah.
So I had to give grace and have an understanding. At least my mother chose to give me life.
Yes.
Right. And so my birthday is a celebration for me every year because I recognize that she didn't have to make that choice, but she did. Forgiveness.
Yes.
The healing of forgiveness, I can't expound on this so much because a lot of people, they have it misconstrued that the forgiveness is for the other person.
Right.
The forgiveness is for yourself.
Yes.
So that you can be free of all the
yes.
things, all the hurt, all the pain, all the things that are hindering
yes.
you from living a free life from forgiveness. Because
yes.
I feel like once you are able, and it's not something that you do, and it's automatic.
Right, right.
It's steps that you have
the
to
process.
Take every day.
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
every day you have to work on mm-hmm. forgiving someone,
mm-hmm.
no matter what it is. It can
right.
be big or small. There are times where something may trigger me and it's like, ooh, that memory
mm-hmm.
did not need to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to go through my forgiveness
mm-hmm.
all over again. So yeah, the healing of forgiveness is
yeah.
a major one. And I think people underestimate how
yeah.
freeing it is
oh,
to
yeah.
be able
oh,
to
yes.
forgive someone
oh,
that
yes.
has, you know, hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And so that to me is probably the number one thing. And then joy.
Yeah.
Just being grateful that I'm here today.
Yes.
Simply by his grace.
Yes.
His mercy.
Yes.
So I have joy every time I think about his hand over my life.
Yeah.
Because not everybody had the same story.
My God.
So yes.
I love that you mentioned grace. Because at the end of the day, when we look now that we're adults and we have children, it's like, you know what? Parents aren't perfect,
mm-mm.
you know, and what is it about our parents that they went through and they experienced in their childhood
mm-hmm.
and their parents' experience mm-hmm. that carry over to different generations
right.
that just weren't addressed, that
right.
weren't talked about,
weren't
that
talked
weren't
about.
Dealt with,
it
that
wasn't okay to
you know,
talk
it
about
wasn't
it
okay
either.
To talk about,
yeah.
you know, back in the day, it was thought of if you go see a counselor or a therapist,
something
wrong with you, you're
mm-hmm.
crazy,
yeah,
you know, and that's not the case at all.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a part of our healing process.
Yeah.
Of course, we believe in the power of prayer. Of course, we believe in our community
Absolutely.
Of the saints.
Yeah.
Of course. However, God has equipped those people for a reason
yeah.
to have that as their ministry,
mm-hmm.
to be able to bring forth that complete healing, yeah. right? We still go to the doctor
right.
when we're sick. We still go and see somebody. If something broke, I need right. to go to the hospital,
right?
right? So it's the same. If your heart is yeah. broken, if your mindset, you know, needs that healing, we have to talk to somebody and yeah. see somebody. And it doesn't mean something's wrong. That's what's right with you. Going to see somebody. I love that. Yes, give the grace. Give the grace. I see those comments coming in. Again, if you have questions, please, please, please send them out because we would love to address them. This is one of my favorite questions. Again, we've been in this thing. It's been we're almost at November where it's been a full year that we've been actual adoptive parents. We fostered them, of course, for 6 months mm-hmm. prior to that. So our boys have been with us since May of last year, May of 2023. So we all the way, praise the Lord, in September 2024. So we making it, y'all. We are not perfect. Man, pray for me every day.
I know.
Shalina was there at the adoption day, mind you.
Crying
so crying, snotting, came back to the house, helping set up with all the celebration. So I thank you again for that. That just meant the world. So it has been a journey for myself. And anybody out there that's listening, what advice can you give to adoptive parents, foster parents, as we're currently raising adoptive children? Because again, yes, all parents need great advice. We understand that, but this is a different situation,
yeah.
right? This is a very different situation. So being an adoptee, now an adult, what can you say to me that I can share with my boys even now as they're getting older, because I don't want them growing up with anger issues.
Yeah.
They go through counseling. For those who don't know, they have to see a therapist yeah. every week. They go see a therapist. Of course, it's dealing with children. You know, it's other children that are there and at these different places. But I want them to be healthy and whole. They have been through a lot, and I cannot say everything, you know, as personal as far as what they have been through, but if you know, it has been a lot.
Yeah.
And so I will never fully know every little thing that they have seen, mm-hmm. that they've experienced. Mm-hmm. There's no way for me to ever know those little intricate things that they may have nightmares about,
right.
that they're boys. So they're, you know, they're in the field. They don't want to share everything.
Yeah.
Like, we don't talk about that. Like, they're just not. It may come up years down the line, but what are some things that you can share with me that's like, I wish my adoptive parents would have done this or said this or would have done this with us to make this journey better?
Better. I would say honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said earlier, there's no perfect parent.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't. So to be honest with them and to admit
mm-hmm.
when you're wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, I do that with my kids now. At least I try my best to admit, like, hey, you know, I didn't always get it right. I remember like trying to go back to my kids and say, you know what? Mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't have did it this way. Maybe I mm-hmm. should have done this way, you know, or just hearing them out, listening, mm-hmm. actually hearing them out. And they pray, like you said, they're preteens right now. They may not come to you now.
Whew.
They may come to you later. Be like, you know, mom, when you did blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I never looked at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I can appreciate you sharing that with me. And you're right. Maybe I could have
mm-hmm.
handled it that way. But I would say transparency as much as you can, because, you know, certain things are not meant for children to know.
Right,
especially
right.
when it's your relationship with your husband. That's
for sure.
You all.
For
but,
sure.
For them to be able to see the example of your honesty and your transparency, to know that, listen, we not perfect. We not going to get it
at
right.
all.
We going to make mistakes.
Right, right.
Patience,
mm-hmm.
which I'm sure you've already had to practice.
Yes, Lord.
And every parent out there, I'm sure, has had to practice. But patience, because like you said, you don't know everything.
I do not.
That they've mm-hmm. gone through. And so it is going to take patience mm-hmm. for them to have the opportunity to open up to you. They may not. They may only open up to their dad, to
mm-hmm.
your husband,
right.
and you okay with that.
Yeah.
Be okay
yeah.
with that. So, yeah.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for that. It takes, of course, mom, you know, two moms, you know, we need that. We need this community mm-hmm. where we can share with each other and feel safe, not judged. I commend my husband as well. I believe we're trying in that aspect, you know, being honest, being transparent. You know, listen, I'm taking a nap. Not that I don't want to spend time with you, because I promise I do.
Right.
However, I'm tired. Gotta work this church. Like, I promise you, we're going to do the things later. Just cannot, you know, but I'm not pushing you away right now because I don't ever want them to feel like I don't want them, you know, around. So it's like I have to be honest. So if this is not me pushing anybody away, I just give me an hour.
Give me my time
because I need to recharge. So I try to let them know, look, I'm old. I ain't one of these 20-year-old parents.
Right.
I'm just being honest. So we can go play outside, but I ain't doing the things. I don't play ball no more. I don't run no more.
Right.
Track is out of my system. All the way. I don't even coach no more. So I ain't gonna run. I'm gonna walk. Can I walk?
Right.
Like, so it's those compromising and just other things, of course, as well. But I try to be honest with them and let them know that you can come to us. You know, you can come and talk. And sometimes stuff will just come up, you know, out of the blue. We're having a regular just eating breakfast and they're bringing up something. So just being ready and being ready is to listen. Yeah. Like, okay, just know if you have a foster child or an adopted child, it could come up at any time where it's like, what? Or the trigger may happen at any time. We learned through our counseling that anything could trigger them. Mm-hmm. It could be they had a sprite and it was something going on in their biological home where it was an abuse taking place and it was a sprite bottle in. It could be literally anything that could trigger, you know, this anger, this tantrum, whatever the case may be. And so we had to really be open to that and sit down and get to the root of certain things. And even with our oldest, who's had some behavior issues at school, I've talked about it on TikTok. Because I know middle school, I had some issues in middle school. So I'm not exempt. Right. I understand. But this one's a little bit different. Bless us all. I love them, but I'm like, Lord, is this getting me back for what I did? Anyway, I digress. But I know that it's a lot of it is from, I can get from what you were saying earlier, that need for attention, that need for validation and trying to be a people pleaser, because every teacher I've talked to is like, oh, he is the life of the party. He's the leader. Everyone loves him. Like, he's the leader, but he got to be quiet. He got to be quiet. And I'm like, I get that. I get that. Yeah. So it's like trying to get everyone to like him. And I get that. So I could just hear as you were talking, I was like, yeah, a lot of that sounds like, you know, the oldest of wanting that approval of just every little thing. You swept the floor. Good job. You know, those little things. So I can definitely see that. I'm going to keep it moving for sake of time. In your opinion, how important is it for everyone to have a deeper awareness of fostering and adoption?
I think it's vital. You know, a lot of times you don't know what a child has gone through or what they're dealing with, and my heart breaks when I hear, you know, there's so many people that actually go through the whole fostering system and even until 18, I think, even the homeless community, because after they've aged out of the program, there's nowhere for them to go. So I think it's so important that people are aware, and even aware within your community. When I came to the boys' adoption, to the ceremony, there were so many resources that I did not know about. And I was like blown away, like, oh my God, they do this in Fulton County? Okay.
Yeah.
Had no idea. So I think it's vital to help people understand and be aware of the steps that it takes for fostering, what it takes for adoption, because like I said, there's so many children that need the care, but there's also, on the positive side, there's families, there's children that have benefited from the gift. I call it a gift. It's a gift for sure.
Yeah.
That have benefited from that and are able to give back to their community because of that gift that they've been given to have a family life.
Yes, absolutely. As we looked up statistics, there are over 11,000 children that are currently in foster care in our state and over 300,000 nationwide. Can you picture that? Over 300,000 children in their state custody. And what if no child, as you said, excuse me, what if that child ages out? Meaning once you turn 18, you're a legal adult. And so you're no longer in custody of this state. You no longer have to be in custody of a foster parent. And if no one adopts you, you just graduate from high school. But then what next? Yeah. What did your high school do a good job of doing career counseling for you or college counseling? The great thing about it is in every state, if you were in foster care, you go to college for free in that state. Some people didn't know that.
Right.
So these children can go and get a college education for free.
Yeah.
Okay. So they can get an education. Well, what if that's not their path? What they need to be put on a career path, but what if no one's helping them with that? What if their case manager just put them under the stack, right? They need a family that's going to guide them to the next steps, to be their advocate, to be there for them. And it's so important to have this awareness.
Yeah.
Because even when we went through our training, and it was a lot of other parents on like our Zoom trainings and things like that, they went over like different case studies and different things as far as how many kids actually go through this process, and some don't make it to the finish line. Mm-hmm. During our week of adoption, there was a family that pulled out. So when we adopted on National Adoption Day last year, you were there, you were at the court, and there are other families. So we were not the only one. There are other families in different courtrooms that celebrated their day. But we were told by our case manager that she had another family that was supposed to be there on that day, and they pulled out at the last minute. Why? We don't know. That's private. That's confidential. But they pulled out. And I say that to say, you know, there are so many children out there that need that stability, that forever home, someone to call family.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what if they never meet biological family? We don't know if they could be incarcerated, deceased, you know, who just who knows where family could be or the situation that they may not need to go back to. So, you know, to bring forth this awareness just has hit my heart ever since we started this journey. Like, I'm a huge advocate now. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to have a whole lot of money. Like, you don't have to be Daddy Warbucks. What was that for Annie? When
right.
Daddy Warbucks or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Daddy Warbucks. Mm-hmm. You know, do you have that space, you know, that you could say, I got a bed, I got a dresser, you know, for their clothes, a closet, you know, let's do something for this child. They also have what's called respite care, where it's an emergency placement for a child that needed to get taken out of this dangerous situation and needs to stay a night or two. Can you do that? You know, look it up. Every state has those programs. And again, you have a fire extinguisher. You're safe. You got yourself in a security alarm with your house. You know, you good people. You know, you're not going to do nothing crazy. You know, talk about it. You know, this is not to force you into anything. Of course, pray about it because it is a gift. And I believe God, you know, called us to this because it definitely is a spiritual journey. But you, if you know it's been pressing on your heart, you know, pray about it. Have this real conversation. Reach out to us. Reach out to someone that, you know, has been through this so that, you know, you can get some questions answered and really take it into consideration, even if it's not full-fledged adoption, at least fostering, right? So we're coming to a close, but what is something you believe we all should know or consider now that we're moving forward and we're ending tonight?
Like you were saying, this month is Adoption Awareness Month. So just be aware, listen out, share, you know, things that I learned. I think I started sharing things that I learned when I went to the ceremony because I just was so taken aback at how well organized the city was and how they took care of the boys. Like,
yes,
the story that I have is not their story, and
right,
so for me
right,
it was
right.
like refreshing
yes
to see
yes.
that story. And so yeah, I feel like try to, if you're thinking about it, like Candace said, definitely reach out. There's so many different resources that are available today, so definitely know, be aware of what is available in your state or in your city. And if you can volunteer for different things that are happening in your county, do that, because you just never know how you can help. I know a lot of times I like to adopt the children for Christmas.
Yeah.
These families usually don't really have anyone that can support the things that they need. And so even just doing that, trying to help families where it's needed.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's great. Even if it's for Christmas, for a holiday, we have Adopt a Senior at our church where we take on a student who's going off to college and just keep sending them prayers, send them care packages, do some things to show that they have a spiritual family back home. And meaning to say that this actually is an Adoption Awareness Month, I did want to hit on this Adoption Awareness here, but Adoption Awareness, I believe, is in November for a National Adoption Day. Mm-hmm. But this is so important to be aware every single month, every month, that we need to start looking at. These children have just started school. I have children in my class who have expressed to me that they are currently in foster care. A lot of seniors that are about to age out, and they're saying, well, I know I can go to college for free. And, you know, they don't mind sharing their story. I'm like, this is so, you know, ironic. You know, I just adopted my boys, and I had another young lady say she got adopted, you know, so many years ago or whatever. And they talk about it and how it has impacted their life. They talk about those things, and they're comfortable now. And you can tell when healing has taken place because you're comfortable sharing. And I didn't press this upon them. This is something I'm just saying. And literally just going through class assignments, they had to talk about, you know, a personal essay to apply to a college. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to talk about their adoption. So I didn't put this on them. They literally expressed this themselves, and how, and they even talked about how comfortable I am talking about this now and how it impacted my life. And I don't know where I would be if I wasn't adopted. And I'm like, man. I'm so just blessed and just thankful, you know, just to be in this space. I pray daily. I want you all to pray for us continually, you know, because this is what it takes. It takes a village to raise a child, but definitely children who have been placed in different situations than what we're used to.
Yeah.
And hearing from you, I just think this has just been incredible. You know, because it's not so often that you meet someone who is grown up and you find out they were actually adopted, and you want to know what's your story. How has that impacted you? And what would happen if you weren't adopted? You know, what would happen if you weren't, you know, adopted as that child, you know, as that infant, you know, where would you be? But I love, as we're moving into our final thoughts, that God was with you the entire time. And that's kind of my final thought. God was with you. God was with you on this journey. God has been with my boys. I've shared in a previous video. I don't know if you saw it, but I was praying. I had my own prayer closet, and God just kind of led me to an old prayer journal. Mm-hmm. And I just kind of flipped to it, and it flipped to 2014.
Yeah.
And it was the craziest thing. I don't know how y'all can't believe in God. I'm sorry, that's to each his own, but I know who I believe in. This one, but God. I was praying at the beginning of the year, talking about, you know, how we still didn't have children, still declaring for children. Because mind you, we've been married for a long time. This year makes 17 years. But, you know, we've been praying for a long time. And I said, God, even if it's adopted, you know, I would prefer boys. I'm mad, you know, I prefer some boys, you know, that's just me. I love just the, you know, being the boy mom, cheering at these, da, 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 da. And I literally wrote out how I wanted them to be. Like, I was praying, you know, from being, you know, godly, being funny, being this, being that, you know, and I'm praying over these boys I did not know. And literally in 2014, that's the year our youngest was born, meaning he was in the womb as I'm praying this. Right. So God has somebody, you know, has given birth to these children that I love that you said that, you know, your biological mother could have, you know, not had you, but she did. But she did. And I'm thankful that she gave birth to these boys. You know, who knows what all they're going to do with their lives, but I'm thankful to be their mom. I'm thankful that they're here.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for whatever God has for them to do. I don't know. That's still yet to be seen. But, you know, this is a journey that they're going to take. Their story is different, but they need these people in their lives to say, hey, I was adopted too. And I made it.
Yeah.
And I made it. And so I can't share that with them, but I need people like this to say, hey, listen, I went through it. You know, you can too. It is nothing to be ashamed of, embarrassed about,
right?
You know, and it's one thing for me to say it, but to hear from other people, it just means the world to me as a mom that they will have somebody to relate to. So I just want to personally say thank you for being there for me and for my boys as a model to show, look at what God can do.
Amen.
Look at what God can do. Do you have any final thoughts, friend?
I think you're doing it. The community, that was one thing that I wanted to share. Like, you've got to have that community, that support, like you were saying, because it does take a village. And even with healing and all of that, it takes a village, and it takes people coming around, rallying around, praying for whatever, because I remember the prayer request, and I remember saying, okay, yes, we're praying for that. We're praying for that. I remember. So yeah, have that community. And those of you that are watching, definitely surround yourself with people that believe in the same things that you do so that you can have that support system. If you are thinking about adoption, definitely reach out to Candace. I'm sure she would love to be a part of your support system.
Absolutely.
To walk you through that journey, because it definitely is a journey for sure. And it's not something you take on lightly. It's definitely, for me, I think it's a ministry.
You know,
I appreciate that. God gave me the parents that he did. In spite of, he still had a reason for the parents that he chose for me. So I'm grateful. I'm grateful that I have a family that, you know, loves me. I have siblings that love me. I have my mom and my dad. They love me. And I know without a shadow of doubt that they do.
Yes.
So I'm just appreciative that I was able to have that story and be able to say, look, yes, I was adopted, and it's nothing to be ashamed of. I know when you have your real brothers and sisters near you and they want to make fun of you, they want to say, oh, you was adopted. That's like a running joke in the family.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't belong. But all jokes aside, there is nothing wrong with being adopted.
Absolutely.
I mean, even in the Bible, God says that we are adopted.
We're adopted.
His
kingdom.
So that's something that I'll always cherish.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you so much again. This has been great.
Yes.
Thank you guys for tuning in. If you tune in late, just keep in mind, you can still put comments on there. She'll be able to see them and can go back to Facebook. That's one thing I love about Facebook Live versus the podcast. You can always go back and answer various questions if you're watching later. Mm-hmm. If you're on the podcast and listening later, please follow my Facebook page, Modern Day Hannahs. My Instagram is at @CandaceL_Jones. You can also follow Shalina as well. It's Shalina King, and her follow page is at @ShalinaK1. And again, she would love to continue the chat, keep it going. I have my book for those who are just now joining and catching up with all of the podcasts. Modern Day Hannahs is my journey to becoming an adoptive mom, and just giving various advice and giving inspiration and encouragement to those who are looking for various options. If you struggle with infertility, or you're just looking for various options as you're going to a journey to motherhood, and that's available on Amazon. So again, just have any type of questions that you have or comments that you have. I would love to hear from you all. But again, like our page, follow, share this message. And again, if you've been thinking about fostering or adoption, it is for a reason. You never have those thoughts kind of pop up, you know, just for nothing. You know, it's in your spirit for a reason. Reach out. I'd love to pray with you about it, answer some different questions that you may have. Again, every state is different, so I can only answer according to my state, but I would love to connect with you. So, you know, continue the chat. We've had a good time.
Yes.
We've had a good time. Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much again, friend, for being with me. This has been amazing.
Thank you for having me.
I always believe God puts different people in my life for a reason, and this is definitely one of them. So we're going to continue the conversation. So join us next time that we get together to continue with Coffee with Candace J. Thank you so much. And thanks, we'll see everyone. You next time. Bye.